Question that I start everybody out, which is, what's your earliest memory of connecting the arc or the group?
Michael, I can't hear you.
No. What is the what's the earliest memory that you have of connecting with the park or the group that, of us?
Okay, so we all were kind of family. The Our Lady of Lourdes family, I'm talking about, and that was, you know, the Rileys and the Lonigans and the Beggins, and we all, our parents were all connected. So we knew each other not only from school, but the neighborhood. So, and back in the day, we sat on our stoop and who was walking by, and, you know, it was just, that was a great connection, because my father was very social, and then the parents got, you know, got very friendly. So we kind of were connected there. We weren't allowed to go out in elementary school with our friends. You know, we did not do any of that. And I think I met, when I started with Donna Howard. Donna Howard was one that, and that was in high school.
Yeah, I was going to say, Donna Howard, though, lived on the other side of the planet. You know, she was on the west side of Springfield.
She was on the west side of Springfield. But that's how, okay, so the earliest, so if I'm going to talk about our side, Lorraine Catrone and I were friends.
Lorraine Catrone, she lived on the next, across the street from you, and then one house up.
Correct. Two over. She was the one next to the corner.
The one next to the corner. That's right. Yes.
Yes. So, and I have reconnected with her here in Florida. And I have gone to see her parents here in Florida. And they remember me as their second daughter.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
And so I remember walking by your house because you had a wooden fence. In your backyard, kind of coming off the side of your house, and then in the backyard. And I remember your dad, and I remember your mom being at the door for some reason. She was always standing in the doorway. But I remember your older brother, the hippie woodsman, you know, the crunchy guy, right? Does he still live up in the Northwest?
He left home at 18 and hitchhiked to Oregon, where he met his wife.
That.
And he retired as a forest ranger in Alaska. He started in the state of Washington and then moved to Alaska. And he retired at 62 from his job. And he always loved it. And he married a woman who was very outdoorsy and, you know, barns and woods. And they lived in they did not live in the city. Actually, a funny story. My sister-in-law came home for my older sister's wedding, and she's not been back.
No kidding.
So she just did. That was not her kind of living. New York was like a rat race to her. She was like, this is just so overwhelming.
Interesting. Yeah. So I don't remember your older sister, but I do remember your brother. And I remember your, obviously, Caroline, your little sister.
Caroline, my youngest sister. Yes.
So that's, for me, it was the three of you in the house. Your oldest sister was significantly older.
No, she was in between Patrick and I. We're all about 18 months.
Oh, really?
Apart. Yeah.
I have no record.
What happened back in school, Joe Lonigan and Patrick were held back in third grade. So Terry and Patrick were actually in the same class, you know, in the same grade, not same class. So it looked like they were twins because they were in the same year.
Oh, okay.
After third grade. So, and then, you know, back then I don't even know how that worked. You know, we had, you know, four classes of 50 students. That's unheard of today, right?
Yeah. And there was never a problem with classroom.
How did we manage? even the bullying, and I'll talk about that too, because I, like Suor Striker, was bullied, but it made you stronger. I mean, like, not at the time, by the way, not at the time, but Mike Worrell, Paul Lonergan, Bobby Green, they were bullies to me and Lorraine, and I want to share with the world what wonderful men and husbands and fathers they've all become.
That's interesting.
So interesting.
I didn't know that they were bullied to you.
And let me tell you something. They did. Bullies don't remember that they were bullies, because I even had conversations with some of my girlfriends who I'm still friends with here. And I was like, you know, Angela Sicanafi and Angela Diver were bullies. And they would throw you in the bushes on the way to, you know, CCD when we had to go to religion. I was like, oh God. So, you know, we walked looking over our shoulder a lot of our life, but we didn't go home and tell our parents. We didn't react.
Yeah. You know, I mean, my mom would say, well, go out and stick up for yourself. Go figure it out.
Yeah, no. It was, you know, and even Mike Worrell, and who became my best friend? Mike Worrell, right? I'm like, Mike and I had become, I don't even know how that happened, because he was, first of all, he had his own problems of drinking and whatever else he was doing, but he became such a great recovering friend and person, husband, father. You know, I say it's from our schooling, because that's, you know, our Catholic schooling, if you want to say, because I see such a difference from my sister's kids who went to Catholic school and my kids who went to public school. It's such,
oh, really?
such a different world.
And you're saying that in a positive way, that it was a positive way.
My sister's children are, you know, kind. They were not, you know, John went to, what's the one on Jericho Turnpike, the Catholic school for boys?
I know the big high school.
Yes.
Yes. It'll come to me, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And Elizabeth went to St. Mary, prep. So, she, you know, they went to elementary school and college and came out and, you know, are loving, standing, I don't want to say they're not entitled. All the kids think they're entitled. Who doesn't think they're entitled these days? But they are still kind and wanting to help others, not only themselves, whereas I felt my children who went to public school was the teacher's mean to me, and they wanted me to go and reprimand the teacher. Yeah. That wasn't happening. That's not how that works. And I want to say my children did not like that I didn't stick up for them. That was a big start of our, you know, I'm not taking your side over a teacher's side who's calling me and telling me you're doing this or not acting right.
Yeah. That is a different perspective, you have to admit, than most of the parents today that swoop in and protect their child, regardless of whether they're right or wrong. That's not the point. You're not allowed to discipline my child because it made him feel bad.
Yes.
And of course, at the end of the day, that seems to be the measuring stick today, is my feelings, not whether I'm right or wrong, but if you made me feel bad, you need to take it back.
I had one of my children's therapists call me and tell me that I needed to apologize. I go, okay. I mean,
I'm right on that.
Okay. You know, and my children have been through many therapists in their small adult world. I mean, even young. But when they didn't like what the therapist said, they moved to a different therapist. It was just one of those things. They weren't working on themselves. They were working on who was telling them what they wanted to hear at the time they wanted to hear it.
Yeah. So this is interesting, this issue of bullying, because I don't have any recollection of being bullied myself. Hopefully I'm not on the bully list for anybody. Certainly I don't have any memory of that, but I do know that bullying for you know, my perspective on it now is that kids who don't feel good about themselves are your bullies. And then, as you've said, but that doesn't mean that they can't emerge from that and start to feel good about themselves and then start to be loving people, loving friends, loving fathers, loving husbands, you know, et cetera. And you know, the girls too, who are bullies, although it's a shorter list. But that, I think that's where it just took some kids a lot longer to find that place where they were like, hey, I don't have to act that way.